Join with me in prayer. Father, this morning we attribute to you the praises that you are due. Holy, forever. And God, we sometimes are at a loss for words. We don't quite have the words that we want to communicate. We get tongue-tied and we get overwhelmed with just emotion, or we get overwhelmed and just don't know what to say. And today I find myself in that type of place. Where we come before you and we are speechless. We marvel at who you are, that you are our Heavenly Father, that you are our God, our Savior, our King. And we thank you that we get to have a relationship with you. We thank you that we, these humans that you created, that have walked away from you in so many different ways, that have done things that we might not even want to speak about, done things to break our relationship with you, and you still sent your son to die on the cross for us. You loved us that much that you would do that. God, not only is that humbling, but it's also a representation of the love that you do have for us, that you would do something like that for us. And sometimes, God, we just don't know how to communicate our love for you other than just being thankful and grateful and desiring to live our lives to glorify you. God, will you help us with that in the days ahead? Will you help us to put you first in everything that we do? Will you help us to be mindful of our attitudes, our hearts, our disposition, our character? Not for our own praise, not for our own pridefulness, but for your glory, for your kingdom to be made known. God, when we think about these things, we realize that this is the change that you do in us for your kingdom, for us to reflect and be more and more like your son, Jesus. And it's not about us, but it's about you and your son and your spirit. So God, will you assist? Will you guide us? Will you direct us? And God, when we have opportunities to speak, when we have opportunities to interact, when we have these intersections of life with other people, may we be slightly bolder than when we were yesterday or 6 weeks ago or whatever the time frame is. Because it's about the progress, it's about the growth, and it's about the willingness and the hope to be able to communicate the truth of your gospel with others. God, help us to take that responsibility. But God, right now, we just ask that your hand of mercy would be before us. We pray for those that are around us, those that we know that are sick, those that are experiencing difficulty in their lives. We have people in our sphere of influence, or people within our church that are dealing with a variety of things, from sickness to cancer to upcoming procedures, and just a whole lot of things. And God, you know these better than we do. And we ask that you would go before us, that you would bring healing to those that need it. Lord, that you would bring our bodies back to where they need to be for us to thrive and to be the people that you've called us to be. We also pray, Lord, that in the midst of these struggles, in the midst of sickness, in the midst of cancer treatments, in the midst of procedures and surgeries, and Lord, we know that there's been those that have been dealing with dizziness and vertigo and just all of these things, God, will you really bring us to fullness and completeness, healing, but then also knowing, God, that in the midst of those things don't change who we are. And we can still seek you. We can still follow you in the midst of those things. Give us that reminder that our circumstances don't change who we are, and help us to continue to seek you and serve you. And God, I know, I'm not saying that that's what happens, but that's our mode sometimes, where our circumstances overtake our character, overtake who we truly are, and we let those things drive us. Help us to remain strong in you. God, you are a loving God, a good Father that loves us, guides us, and directs us. And may we truly seek your face in all that we do today, because it's about your kingdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. 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 Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's a good day to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Great. I'm so excited that you're excited about it. Because if we weren't, then why would we be here today? Okay. I love the noise. I love the excitement when I get here. When you guys get here. Because when up until that point, it's been very quiet. And the only thing that I hear is my music in my office. And so it's always good when you guys get here and conversations begin. And just excitement builds because you're excited about being in the house of the Lord. So I'm glad that you're here today. A couple of things that I just want to remind you about. That first of all, if you would like to, you can use the QR code to kind of check in and just let us know that you're with us today. If this is your first time with us, we're so glad that you're here today. Couple of reminders for you is that this coming Sunday, next week, is a Fifth Sunday lunch, and you don't want to miss Fifth Sunday lunches because they're fun and they're good, and you get to eat some food and hang out with other people. We transform the sanctuary, enjoy lunch together, and just stick around as long as you want to. If you can bring in something to share, that would be great. If not, stick around anyways. There's always plenty of food, and it's just good to be together. We're also collecting candy for Nixon Elementary and October 30th for their event that they're doing with the PTA that is happening at 5 o'clock on that evening. It's it's their trick or treat night that is an opportunity for kids in the community to go to the school and to get some candy and just, you know, a safe place for them to do that. And we got invited by the PTA to participate. And so we're doing two things, collecting candy. If you can bring in candy, that would be awesome. If candy's not your deal and you would like to hand out candy because that would be more fun, I invite you to join me on the 30th at 5 o'clock at the elementary school. If you would like to let me know that you're going to be there, that would be great. Then I can look for you, help you out, get instructions and all that fun stuff. But basically, it's an hour of your time where you get to rub some elbows with people in our community. And that's a great thing to do. So if you're interested, let me know. Also, I am still looking for more prayer partners. If you are, if you just want to partner in and join and pray for Nixon Elementary, I would love for you to let me know. We'll give you a day, and you just on that particular day, Monday through Sunday, just a mental reminder that you're going to pray for them a little bit more specifically that day. Let me know. I'm looking to get some more. That would be fantastic. Other little things that you need to remember is that we have the tithing box in the back. We also have all of our socials, and we can also do tithing and giving online, which a number of you do, and we thank you for that. Just a Quick little thing, okay? In about 2 months, we are going to be paying off our mortgage. And it's very exciting. We've been working on that diligently, and your board has done a phenomenal job of allocating funds to take care of that monthly. We've put as much as we can, not triple, but a lot. And so we've been paying this down diligently for the last 10 years and even longer, 10 years that I've been here. And it is so cool to know that right around Christmas time, we'll be making our last payment. Now, with that is we're going to celebrate at some point in time. Your board and I are talking about how best for us to celebrate our mortgage coming to a close. And we'll keep you in the details as those things get planned. It may just be a Christmas party. It may be a celebration in the spring where we are fully ready to go and ready to jump into what God has in store for us next. We'll figure it out, and we'll let you know when we got it all planned out. Sound like a plan? Fantastic. There was like two of you that responded, so that was great. But anyways, it is very cool, and you play a big role in that. Your giving to Living Hope is a blessing, and we take that very seriously as a board, and we try to do our best in stewarding the gifts that you have given, because we know they are not ours. They are ultimately God's. And everything that we have is ultimately God's. And so we are very diligent in what we do and how we steward that. And so thank you so very much for what you do. And so you play a big role. So thank you. Well, we're going to dismiss kids for Children's Church today. So kids ages 4 to 5th grade are to head on back and meet their leaders and go for Children's Church today. As you can tell, we're going to be celebrating communion today, and I always look forward to our opportunities to take communion and just know that when we receive it today, that we are celebrating a long-standing tradition of remembering the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. Even now, as the sermon comes along, I invite you to just prepare your heart for that, and knowing that we come to the table having relationship with Him, but we're also coming to the table knowing that God uses communion to remind us of His grace and His mercy that none of us deserve, but He gives willingly. For the past 6 weeks, we've been working through a sermon series that is titled One at a Time, and we've utilized this book that I've heard from a few different folks along the way that this book has been a good reminder, a good mindset. I could use about 17 other words, but I'm looking for the right one. A good representation of how often we look at Scripture and we don't notice the simple things that Jesus did along the way. Maybe for some of you, you're kind of like, well, no, I know that Jesus, He did these things with individuals, and He did that with individuals, and then He spent time with the crowds and all that. Either way, the point in all of this is that as we've looked at Jesus's his life, we realize that what He did was impact people. And my hope along the way is that you've been able to not only be challenged by the book, but you can also see the times in Scripture where Jesus did these things. Because if we don't have Scripture to back an idea or a topic that we're going to use in church, then what are we really doing? And so I think this book has been really good to show us that this is a marker of Jesus's way of doing things that can challenge us and also encourage us and how we kind of go about our business as well. And I've just been encouraged by the different things that God has been teaching you. And if there's things that God has taught you along the way in the next couple of weeks and you want to share, I would love to hear about them. Even if it's like a year from now, type in the subject line or call me, text me, do something and let me know how God has utilized this series to impact you. And we've been talking about how Jesus changed the world one at a time. Now it's our turn to figure out how God is going to use us to impact others and their world one at a time. How is God going to use you to impact others, influence others, help them to change their lives one at a time? Because this is something that I think we need to keep on going. It would be really easy for us to kind of take the stuff that we've learned and just say, yep, that was good. Now on back to normal life. We do that all too often, don't we? We go on a new fad about, should I use the D word? Dieting. You thought I was going to say a different D word, didn't you? I don't know what one you were thinking, but I was talking about dieting. We go on one of these diets, or we go on these, an exercise plan, or we go on something, and we do it for a little while, and we see some good success. But when life really happens and things get difficult, what do we tend to do? We retreat, and we go back to things as normal, right? Am I the only one that's done that before? No, I don't think so. But life happens. Distraction happens. And before we know it, we're knocking on the doors of just transitions and changes. And we're knocking at the door, like when it comes to our eating habits, we knock on the door of Thanksgiving and Christmas. And we all shake our head and be like, oh my goodness, do I need to eat that much pie? And we say yes, don't we? And the way that we thought we were changing our lives turns back to what was normal. And I don't think that in this scenario, when it comes to what we've learned and what we've experienced and how to look at the world around us, that we want to return to normal. I don't think that I want to return to normal and not let Jesus work in me so that he can work through me. Don't you agree? We want to continue to have Jesus work in us, bring us closer to him so that he can work through us. Because if we didn't, what are we really doing? What are we really calling ourselves if we're followers of Jesus and we don't let him work in us and change us? We're going through the motions of religiosity, and that's not what I signed up for. And I hope that's not what you signed up for. Not that you sign up for being a Jesus follower. You commit to being a Jesus follower, right? So today I want to talk about some ways in which we can keep things going. Keep it going. Because it would be easy for us to stop. First thought is this. Make one at a time your daily commitment. Make what we've been discussing, what we've been reading about, make what we've been talking about a daily intentional commitment. Why? Because life gets lived daily. You get a new morning every day, and his mercies, the mercies of God, are new every day. And what happens yesterday does not dictate how today is going to be, right? Not always. Sometimes we let yesterday bleed into next week. But let's, when it comes to our relationship with God, new day, every day. The only way that I really know how to make one at a time a habit, a lifestyle, a way of life is to build a regular routine around your morning. It doesn't have to be elaborate. It doesn't have to be crazy. Just begin the day with a prayer that says, Father, I'm able and available to be used by you today to make a difference in someone's life. Help me be tuned in to you, to your whispers, to your nudging, to your leading, so that if someone I am to invest in today, I will pick up the cues to make a difference in someone's life. I'm willing to be used by you, however you choose. Amen. What if we prayed a prayer like that? It doesn't have to be that one. But what if each day we kind of began with that type of mindset of, God, I'm available to be used by you today? I used to be a tennis player. And when I say used to be, I really mean I used to be. But I would wake up just about every day during my high school years, and I would either do one of a few things during the summertime. I would either go and play tennis, or I would go and coach tennis, or I would go and watch tennis. That's just kind of what my life was kind of like. And I was a decent player, but I had a coach that invested in me a lot. He was a country club member, and so he would have permission to bring non-country club members, that was me, into the club and play games, play matches, do whatever, drill and all that stuff. So he would take me and my doubles partner, and we'd go in and we'd play, and he'd just hit balls at us all day long. And he'd work on serves and backhands, forehands, everything. And we did this a lot. He just invested. And his goal was for us to be good tennis players. And he knew that the best way to do that was to do that daily. So during tennis season, we would practice daily. We would serve daily. We would do everything that we were supposed to do daily so that we would be ready to go when the season started. He even got as crazy as giving me a video of it was the lamest, boring, most, I don't even know what it was, but it was not a cool tennis video. It's not like he got highlights of Boris Becker or Bjorn Borg or Andre Agassi or Pete Sampras or any of those guys. It was a one swing like that over and over and over, and it was repeated over, and I can't say over and over enough, because that's what it was. It was like 17 times, and then he'd move on to something else. And one time they got to animation, where it was these little dots that formed a racket, the outline of a racket, the outline of an arm, and the body, and you just saw a forehand over and over and over. The whole goal was mental repetition and visual repetition. So what you saw developed muscle memory. What I did became, what I saw eventually came out in the way that I hit, because what I was seeing was being mentally repeated in my mind, and it eventually went to the form of my arms and my hands. What if you prayed this prayer daily, Do you think that your mind would be, I saw an interaction. I saw an intersection with people and I knew it. And so I had that conversation with them. Or I saw the trail of breadcrumbs in a person's life that pointed me to the idea that they are in need of meeting Jesus. And I recognized it and I saw it. What if mentally, spiritually, emotionally, we just knew because we had spent enough time praying this prayer, God, use me, and we saw it. What if? So make a daily commitment. That's the first one. Second, trust God to provide. Sounds pretty basic and elementary, right? Trust God. We talk about that all the time. But to live a one-at-a-time type of lifestyle, hear me, God's not asking you to do this on your own. It's not something that you have to do on your own. In fact, if we were trying to do this on our own, two things would happen. We wouldn't try, or we'll wear ourselves out trying. And I don't think God is asking us, and I don't even think he even wants us to do this on our own. I think that God is inviting us to make a difference one at a time with him and through him. With him and through him. And this means two things, that we make ourselves available in saying, I have the time and the energy and what it takes to invest in others' lives. And when we really and honestly, we're recognizing that we might not have all those things, but we're trusting that God will show us that we have the time and the energy. And second, it means that trusting God for the ways in which that he will want to fill in the gaps of what we lack, because we will always see what we lack, won't we? I don't have the words to say, and so I'm not going to invest in that conversation. I don't have the time, so I'm not going to give up my time. I don't have the knowledge that I think I should have to really walk along with someone. But if you trust God, I mean really trust him for the things that you lack, and give him the opportunities, he fills in the gaps like good old ice cream at night after a good meal. We don't need that ice cream, but when it just fills in the gaps, we're like, oh, that was such a good meal, right? I know, I keep talking about food, and you guys are going to be walking out of here just like hungry and hangry and just wanting to go get everything and anything. But the idea is that we have a faithful God. And when we say yes to investing in others, we get to witness God move and make up for what we're lacking. And that includes our time, our resources, our abilities, our finances, everything. And we get to witness what we thought was not possible is actually able to get accomplished because of his divine work. And in that same vein of thought, something that God provides when we are trusting is the love that we don't have, but he does. You see, when we invest in the life of others, we may encounter people that that either we don't know, that are very different from us, that may have insulted us, that may have hurt us, they may have been considered an enemy to us. But to gather this type of love, that takes the love of someone else. That takes the love of that God has to fill that area that we don't have. And let's be really honest. There are times when our love quotient is not as high as it should be. And that's, I'm talking about myself. I'm not talking about you. There are times where we just don't have the love that we need to be able to interact, to be able to care, to be able to long-term walk with someone. And let's let God fill that in us for his glory, where we can be a channel, a conduit for what God wants to do through us. We have to remember that the fruit of the Spirit is love. And God's love flowing through you, and through me is how that gets done. And so we trust God to provide. We trust God to provide the love that we don't have, the time that we don't have, the energy that we don't have, and the provisions that we don't have, so that we can keep this idea of one at a time living, moving. Third thought is this. Share your stories. When you get opportunities to influence others for the gospel of Jesus, to make a difference in someone else's life, where God uses you to begin transformation in a person's life because of what God is doing, tell people about it. It's not bragging or boasting. It's not a what the teenagers say, a low-key flex. Has anybody heard that one yet? If not, you will. Okay, those that have younger kids. It's not. We might think by talking about a story that we personally have been invested in is bragging. But when it comes to the kingdom work that God is doing, I don't think that that's bragging, unless we tell that story like 17 times to the same person and we don't move on. But if we have an interaction with a neighbor and we have an opportunity to share a little bit about the gospel in there, and we tell our small group family about it, man, that's encouraging. That builds each other up. Who else is going to celebrate with you besides your church family? Who else is going to celebrate with you besides your small group, life group members? And who better to share with about God's transformation? To be quite honest, we share stories all the time. We love to share stories. We did a whole story or a whole sermon series on stories not too long ago, right? Because we like stories. We like to watch videos on YouTube that make us laugh and tell somebody about it when they could go out and they could watch it. And it'd be much better than what we can share with them, right? I did that the other day to Andrea, and she did one of these, like, what are you talking about? Because I couldn't describe it better than what she could watch on the TV screen or the computer screen, whatever, cell phone, you got it. But we'll recreate the memes with our words, and it doesn't make any sense. But we love to tell stories. What's a better story than Jesus working in someone's life? I'll ask you, is there a better story than that? Share your stories. If you don't have anybody to talk to about it, talk to me. I will celebrate with you. I love to hear stories of what God is doing. Even if it's that initial conversation with someone. Hey, I met somebody and I just had an opportunity to be a positive impact in their life. Awesome. Tell me more. When something else happens, tell me more so that we can celebrate with one another. Lastly is this. Keep the end in view. What's the end that we should be keeping in view? One of my favorite stories in this book is the story of Orville Wolf. No, Orville Orville Hubbard and Dick Wolf. I'm going to read it because I think that it's such a great story that illustrates this point really, really well. In 1956, in the small town of St. Joseph, Illinois, Orville Hubbard and Dick Wolf knocked on a door. There was nothing special about these two guys. A young married couple lived in that house with their four kids, one a newborn. That newborn was actually their connection with Orville and Dick. Dick had gotten to know the family when his wife was in the hospital at that same time as the lady of this house giving birth. They had quickly become friends. Orville knocked and the husband opened the door and Dick asked if they could come in for a few minutes to share something important. The husband agreed and sat on the couch with his wife as Orville and Dick presented the gospel, explaining that what it really means to have a relationship with Jesus. The couple listened as their 8-year-old son played with his trucks on the floor. These two men explained that everyone has sinned and the punishment for sin is death and eternal separation from God and hell. But God loves us despite of our sin and offers us the gift of eternal life through Jesus and what he did on the cross. If they would accept Jesus as their Savior, they would live forever in heaven and have abundant life here on earth. That husband and wife and their 8-year-old truck-loving son said yes and were baptized the next week. As the story goes on, a few pages later, let's see, 98, says that Orville and Dick knocked on a door and initiated spiritual conversation with a young couple. They shared Jesus. The couple and their son put their faith in Jesus. That was back in 1956. But today, I call that couple Grandma and Grandpa. The 8-year-old boy playing with trucks was my dad. Everything good in my life traces back to two men I've never met, loved people one at a time, and cared enough to find the courage to knock on a door and have a conversation. One of the reasons I can't wait for heaven is to thank them. I bet they could have found other things to do that day. Were nervous when they walked up to the house and were scared of questions they didn't know how to answer. I bet it was completely out of their comfort zone. They did it anyways. Christ's love compelled them. I can't wait to tell them thank you. Thank you for the family I grew up in. Thank you for the wife or for my wife. Thank you for my children. Thank you for the incredible church family I get to be a part of. Thank you for my life that has been filled with love and purpose and hope. Thank you that I am in heaven. Thank you for having that conversation with my grandparents. Introducing them to Jesus completely changed my life. Thinking about that, how one conversation impacts families forever. That's the view, the end in mind that we're talking about. We're talking about eternal destinies. We're talking about the spiritual lives of peoples and our families, our neighbors, our community. This isn't just a 6-week type of thing, and we spend our time reading this book, and we spend our time on Sundays talking about it and relating to it and going to life groups and talking about it and then moving on as if nothing ever happened. We're talking about eternal destinies. We're talking about the life that people could have if we would care enough to have that conversation. And I say that firmly and difficultly because we have to allow our hearts to break for the things that break God's heart. And sometimes we're not there. And I'm guilty of that as well. But we need to see people the way Jesus sees people. 3 times in one section of scripture, we have the parable of lost things. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the two lost children. Jesus cares about lost things. And we should too. I shared a little bit ago about my high school tennis coach. You see, in my life, he saw something that he wanted to see come together. And that was a solid tennis player that knew how to handle himself, play a game that he loved, and be an upstanding young man. And I will never forget Mr. Richard Knutson that spent a lot of time with me. He could care less if I won or I lost, but he wanted me to play my best. And so that's why he worked with me day after day after day, practice after practice. That's why he gave me a videotape that I watched multiple times that bored me to tears, but I knew it would make me better. So we daily pray the prayer, God, I'm available. Will you use me? We have an end in sight, an end in view where we could have the conversation with someone that we don't know, thanking us for the difference one conversation had on their life or their family's life or the impact that took place in heaven. I don't know anything else to communicate about this than we really have to hone our eyesight to see the way Jesus sees and let our heart be broken for what breaks his heart. Father, thank you for your love and your grace and your peace and your mercy. Build in us more than just a 6-week time where we think about the things of sharing our faith or beginning a conversation or recognizing the intersections in people's lives and knowing that you can utilize them. But build in us a heart that would desire to be changed for your kingdom purposes, for your will to be done. And God, I just pray that we would be aware of the world around us, that we daily would ask that you would utilize us for your purposes, that we would trust you for the things that we lack and allow you to work through us. Thank you, God. And as we go to communion today, we ask for your wisdom. We ask for your mercy to lead us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to the table today, we do so in celebration. Celebrating what God has done in our lives, the work of that the Spirit of God is doing in us. The changes, the transformations, the adjustments, the course corrections. And we should celebrate all these things. We should celebrate these things because God deserves the glory for them. We celebrate this meal of the bread and the cup. And it is the reminder of the amazing work of God. The things that he has done, the sacrifice, the death, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, the power of God, the saving grace of Jesus. We also come to the table with surrender upon our hearts, surrendering ourselves to the work of the gospel and surrendering ourselves to the Lord of Lords and surrendering our will to the God, to the God of our fathers, our heritage, and His will. That His will we would follow through on, and surrendering our minds to the mind of Christ. And we also approach the table with hope. Hope in waiting for the work of God that we know is coming. Because we have the witness of how God has worked in the past, and we know that He will do so again. That we have hope for what is coming, and we have hope for an eternal future. But we also come with the commitment that the way that we are now will not be the way that we are in days from now or years from now. That He will continue to work in us as we invest in Him. And the commitment that His word and He Himself is sufficient for all our needs. So we come to the table with these thoughts. And we come to the table reading Jesus' words, where He says that He has eagerly desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And after taking the cup, He gave thanks and He said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And He took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for me. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. And Jesus presents the bread and the cup. And today, as we take communion, we will do it by intinction. This is a fancy word for meaning that we will take the bread and we will dip it in the cup and then partake immediately. And the way that we'll do that today is just an act of willingness to come before the Lord. To, if we can, stand and come forward and take the elements. If that's not where you're at today, where you need me to come and serve you, I would gladly come and do that to help you out. We take communion because it's a reminder of what Jesus did on the cross. We take communion to taste and see that the Lord is good, that He who died on the cross, sacrificed Himself for our sins, was dead and buried and rose again by the power of God. And we remember that. And we trust in that. That one day we will experience an everlasting life with Him. So I invite you to come. What we will do is I will invite each section to come towards the middle aisle, receive the elements of communion, and then proceed back. This section, proceed to the middle, take the elements, and then come this way. And the outside aisles do the same thing. Kind of go around the end. And I would be glad again to serve you if you would need the assistance. Father, we come before you today, remembering and celebrating communion. That this act of celebration and remembrance is a holy moment. We experience the grace of your Son in this moment, recognizing that through the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son is the saving grace, is the gospel in a nutshell. And we thank you for it. We ask, Father, that you would help us to receive this time as a solemn moment where we just acknowledge our faith in you. We also acknowledge that we are not perfect, that we need a Savior, and that it is a good reminder for us to receive these elements of salvation, knowing, God, that our commitment, our faith in you is what saves us. But without the bread, or without the blood and the sacrifice there, we would not have forgiveness of these sins that we have committed. But we thank you for the blood and the sacrifice. Speak to our hearts today, God. If there's business that we need to do before you, before we receive the elements, please do so. Work in us, Father. Work in us. Thank you. Thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a reminder for you that we practice open communion here at Living Hope Wesleyan. You do not have to be a member of this, the church body, in order to receive communion. What we do ask is that you have a relationship with Jesus, that you consider him to be your Lord and your Savior. And if that is where you're at, please receive communion today. If today is your day of salvation, and that this is the moment where you are saying, I believe and I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and by all means, take communion today. If this is the first time that you made that commitment, that is just fine. But we receive this meal in a remembrance of who he is. So we'll start on the outside, come forward to the middle, and I'll stand over there, and you can proceed on the outside in this section, proceed there and come to the middle to head back to your seats. This is a great moment for us to receive these elements of communion. Father, thank you. Thank you that when we woke this morning, we had fresh breath in our lungs. And we can make this day about you and you alone. And we can live our lives to bring you glory. And thank you for the reminder of communion today and the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus. That through that sacrifice, we have the promise of eternity. And God, we're grateful for that. We also are reminded that there is a great big world that we're a part of that doesn't have a relationship with you. That should burn within us, God. Allow it to speak to us and allow it to energize us. That we can have interactions that will change the makeup of eternity because of what you do in the life of your people. And we thank you for that, God. Thank you for loving us. And thank you for being our Savior. We pray these things in the name of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus. And everyone says, amen. We're going to close out our time together with singing, and want to invite the worship team back up, and we will join together in singing. I want to thank you so much for being with us today as we worship. I invite you to stand and sing with us.